Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday. With your host, Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Baptist Health, and by Ticket Exchange. Now, here's your host, the always happy, always positive, always effervescent, man of a thousand smiles, Vic Ketchman.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Jaguars Monday after another victory. That's two in a row. And yesterday's win was more than a win. It was that's what I like to call a seal clubbing. I mean, what the Jaguars did to the Titans, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Jeff Fisher looked stunned. He looked he looked like somebody hit him with a pie in the face. I can't believe, even now, I can't believe how the Jaguars dominated the Titans yesterday. That's a proud football team. That's especially a team that prides itself on defense. And what I saw yesterday was a track meet. Anyhow, we're going to do the usual thing, invite the calls. But I wanted to. I had an opportunity to bring Gene Smith, the Jaguars general manager, on for a few minutes, and I wanted to seize that opportunity. So he is with us. Hi, Gene.
Good to be here, Vic.
I'll bet you it's good to be here after a win.
It certainly is. I hope we carry this momentum out west and get a win in Seattle.
I asked Coach Del Rio. I asked Jack a question today, and at a press conference late this afternoon. Kind of an unfair question to ask a head coach because you know a reporter knows he can't really answer it, but you got to ask it anyhow. And the question was, are you okay with 2-2? Is that good? I mean, what do you think about 2-2 for a team that entered the season with massive roster turnover, all these rookies, two starting rookie tackles, a rookie starting cornerback, rookie starting defensive tackle? And of course the answer was it is what it is, but you know, you got to do it because you got to put something down on paper. All right, you're not a coach, so I'm going to ask you, what do you think about 2-2?
Well, certainly you like to win all your games. It's not realistic to think that you can in this league because it's such great competitive balance, but I think you earn your wins, and I thought the last 2 weeks we did that.
You come into the year, you know what you're doing with the roster. I want to approach this from one more angle. I mean, you knew you had gutted it. I mean, there's no other way to put it. This thing was gutted. You got all these rookies. What's the anxiety like? I mean, you had to have an element of fear coming into this season, right? I mean, it's nobody was picking this team to do anything. As I like to say, the downside was distinct. Am I right? Or did you feel right from the beginning that you had something here, that you could do something, that this team could actually be competitive?
Well,
in a playoff contention sort of way.
Yeah, I felt that we could be competitive. I think that's a good way to put it. I think, you know, you used the word like anxiety and so forth. And going back to Chuck Noll, someone you know very well, he once said that pressure is self-imposed. And I think limitations are self-imposed. I think, you know, there's a newness to this football team. Obviously, we do have some youth blended in with some good veterans. And, you know, again, I think you earn respect, you earn trust, you earn your opportunities, and you certainly earn wins in the National Football League. And I was happy the way the players responded the last 2 weeks in particular.
You know, you want to know what I think? I am stunned that this team is playing as well it is right now just 4 weeks into this season. I thought late in the year, this is what I expected, a lot like 2003, which started out 1-7, I believe, yes. Started out 1-7, and then in the second half of the year, I think the Jaguars won 5 games, and really you could see that this was a team now on the rise. I mean, you would expect that a young bunch of guys are going to need time. But here we are 4 weeks into the season, and that was a tough-looking opening schedule at Indianapolis and the defending NFC champion here, and then at Houston, and Houston was supposed to be a team that was going to contend for the division title, and then, of course, Tennessee, the defending division title. And, yeah, I know they're 0-4, but they're 0-4 for one of the reasons being that the Jaguars beat them, and that was really a sound thrashing yesterday. So I'm stunned at what you guys have done. I really am. I'm stunned at the way, Gene, you have put this roster back together, and I'm stunned at what a fantastic coaching job Coach Del Rio and his staff has done. Dirk Cutter yesterday, what he did with that offense is here's a guy that, you know, gets ripped and ass Vic on a regular basis, which is, of course, the popular thing, kill the offensive coordinator. I mean, that goes on everywhere. So on a day like this, following a game like yesterday, there's a guy there that, based on the way team played yesterday, they had to build a monument to him. I mean, just fantastic. And Mike Thomas, one of your rookies, has changed this team. And that's my opinion. He has changed this team. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he's one of our rookies that certainly has emerged. And what held him back some of the preseason was soft tissue issues. Yeah, and he's been able to stay healthy, so we're grateful of that. But, you know, I want to compliment the coaching staff, too. I think with the number of young players on this football team, they've done a good job of bringing them along. And I thought, what we did to attack the Titans on both sides of the ball, I thought we played to the strength of our personnel.
Yeah, I didn't expect this team to be able to stop the Titans' running game with their 3-4. I just didn't see enough beef up front to be able to do it, and they did it. They did it well enough. But it was with the offense that the Jaguars put the pressure on the Titans to have to throw. So what do you see going forward? What can this team – what do you think the team can be, Gene? I know they are heading into a 4-game stretch against teams that are a combined 1-15, but that's also a trap. Last year, the Jaguars were 3-3 heading into a 3-game stretch against Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Detroit, and lost two of those three games, and it ruined the season. I know this is a nice stretch of schedule here, but it also can be a trap. Nonetheless, what do you think? What do you think going forward? What can this team do?
Well, like I said at the start of the year, I'm cautiously optimistic. I just want to see improvement. And I think if we continue to improve, it should hopefully translate into to sustained winning. That's my goal here. And I see a lot of positive signs of growth in this football team. So I'm very encouraged.
One more question before we go to a break. The number one question I'm getting to ask Vic today is, Vic, what should I readjust my expectations? And they all want to know, can they be a playoff contender?
Well, a big part of winning in this league is health. So hopefully if we stay healthy, when we get into the month of November, people can sit down at the dinner table and talk about that. That's what I see as being a competitive football team year in and year out,
Can I keep you through the break?
Sure.
Okay. Joe, take us into the break, please.
You got it, Victor. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Vic and Gene will be right back. Your chance to sound off coming up too. 355-NFL-1. 355-NFL-1. 1-800-355-NFL-1. NFL1. Jaguars Monday continues right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back. This portion of Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. The number 355-NFL1, 355-6351, or 1-800-355-NFL1. Vic Ketchman.
I have General Manager Gene Smith with me, and I'm going to hit him with one more question, then I'm going to let him go back into personnel where you – I know you guys do. This is your pro personnel time, right? This is when you – your pro personnel department briefs your coaches on the Seahawks.
That's correct. We do that at 6 o'clock mm-hmm. on Monday nights, do the advanced scouting report. But we also evaluate the roster from the game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we grade every player. So there's a lot of things that are going on the pro side during the
The Seattle-Indianapolis game. Who was scouted that?
Lewis Clark.
Okay. Who's your director of pro personnel?
Yeah, Lou is our assistant director of pro personnel, and he's been here a number of years. He actually worked with me in college. He's on the pro side now, and he does the advance.
What kind of questions, what kind of things do the coaches want to know from Lou about the Seahawks?
Well, a lot of it in this league has to do with personnel matchups. Mm-hmm. So,
personnel groupings?
Well, not just groupings, but the evaluation the players are going to line up against. So we know where we can get the advantage in matchups. But there's a lot of other things that are involved with advanced scouting, and we could invest a whole show on that.
How do the plays come into the game?
That's correct.
What's the chain of command? Who sends them in?
A lot of things that happen.
Is the coach up in the box, or is he down in the field, that kind of stuff?
Some of that stuff, and then a lot of what takes place before the game. Mm-hmm. We really monitor injuries. Some of the things that happen between plays. Just a lot of
such
different things.
Such as between plays. Give me an example, an innocuous example.
Well, I mean, the tempo of the offense.
Okay.
I mean, there's some things that you cannot tell on tape. There's some teams that will run like a hurry up or change the tempo of their offense, and you got to know what that team's doing week to week so you have a feel of how you need to prepare during your practices to get your sub packages on the field.
I got one question for you. It's a doozy, but it's something I can't answer. I'd like someone to answer it for me. What the heck is happening in this league on offense? And let me give you an example. Yesterday, Bill Belichick had 4th and 4 down deep in Ravens territory late in the game. He's leading by 3 points. A field goal would force the Ravens to have to score a touchdown. And he goes for it on 4th down. 4th and 4. Understand, he's got Tom Brady as a quarterback. He makes it, but there's a legal shift or some kind of 5-yard penalty that then brings the ball back and they have to kick the field goal. But it's 4th and 4, and he goes for it. If he misses, of course, they only have to go 50 yards or so, and they got a chance to tie the game. Last night's game, Pittsburgh and San Diego. Tomlin goes for it on 4th down in the first half from his 30-yard line. I think he was leading 14-0. His team had thoroughly dominated the game up to that point. He's got a situation here where if he doesn't get this, the other guys can cut that lead in half real quick, and you've spent a whole half, you've wasted almost a whole half of dominating the game. Yesterday, Cincinnati and Cleveland, overtime. Now get this one, folks. I think the Bengals were on the Browns' 40-yard line, thereabout. 4th and 11. There's like 2 minutes to go in overtime. Score's obviously tied. Marvin Lewis goes for it. 4th and 11. If they miss this, the Browns have to go, 30 yards to put the ball on the ground and kick the game winner. What is going on with this wildness? What is causing this? How can you explain this?
Well, they certainly have confidence in their quarterback, for one, to do that.
They made it.
They have confidence in their defense. to be able to go back out there and throttle the imposing offense down if they do get the ball back. I just think, a head coach, he gets a sense of what is taking place on the field. If an opposing team is getting wore down, if you've got the momentum, if you've got the edge in the game with your football team. I think there's a lot of things that take place that have to do with the emotion and the momentum that the head coach knows being on the sideline.
Okay, Gene. Thanks for being with us, and I'm going to let you go back to your bunker. And, folks, it is a bunker, the personnel department. And I know our listeners really appreciate you spending the time with us.
Well, and I appreciate you, Vic, for what you do with the passionate fans out there. And I just want to thank them for showing up, that did, because I'll tell you what, you would have thought that there were 70,000 or 80,000 in the stadium with how loud they were during the course of a game. And that is a competitive advantage. Yeah. So thanks to the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Good thought. Thanks, Gene. And with that, let's go to the phones. We've got some time left before our bottom of the hour break. And let's go to Joe. Hello, Joe. Let's go to John in Mandarin. Hi, John. Good evening.
Hey, Vic. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. I would just like to say, I've been meaning to say this for 3 years, I love the column Ask Vic. I read it every single day.
Thank you.
I'm going to get to my question. I'll let you have your thoughts when I get off the air.
Okay.
I was celebrating all game. I didn't really get to focus on the individual players as much as I would like to. So I'm going to ask you, did Derek Harvey show you anything yesterday that would give you confidence in his play for the future?
I looked at the stat sheet. He had, I think, 2 or 3 tackles. Yeah, you know. You get tackles almost for anything. That's not what he was drafted to do. He was drafted to sack the quarterback, strip the quarterback, you know, force fumbles, recover fumbles, knock down passes. And I got none of that. I got 2 hurries. That is his contribution yesterday, 2 hurries. Now, I didn't watch the tape, and I don't have a coach in here right now. He may have just whipped his guy all day long. And I don't know it. And that stuff will never show up on the stat sheet. But you see, Derek is in a tough spot. Derek was drafted to show up on the stat sheet. Terrence Knighton wasn't drafted to show up on the stat sheet. Terrence Knighton was drafted to kick the snot out of the guy across from him. If he does nothing more than that, then that's fine. But Derek Harvey is in that premium, high-profile, blindside pass rush position. Derek Thomas, Lawrence Taylor, James Harrison, you know, the Sean Merrimans of the world. And by the way, he looks like he's lost it. I mean, he's dragging his leg. He's not the same guy. But so, you know, Kevin Green, you know who I'm talking about. These are guys who are judged, Javon Kearse, who are judged by their sack totals. They're judged by how many times they sacked the quarterback, stripped the quarterback of the ball, recovered the ball, deflected a pass, intercepted it, ran with it. Tony Brackens, there's the classic example. We know what he did here. Derek Harvey is supposed to be Tony Brackens. I'm not seeing it. He's not showing up on the stat sheet. That's all I have to go with. But the stat sheet says not good enough at this point. How about Louise on the north side, who wants to talk about tiebreakers? Good evening, Louise.
Hi, Vic. How are you this evening?
Very well. How are you?
We're very, very fine, thank you. We were at the game yesterday. We've been season ticket holders for about a half dozen years now.
The Jaguars, thank you.
And when we were at the game, I was watching the score, of course, and I was watching what Houston was doing. And I thought, well, the Jags need to put up more points because I have this maybe harebrained idea that the more points to get, if there was a tie between Houston and Jacksonville because they had the same number of wins and losses, that Jacksonville win because they had more, would be second underneath the Colts because they had the more points. Is that a crazy way of looking at it?
You would have to get down to conference, AFC, in other words, AFC points differential. That's way down the list. The kind of points differential that would first apply would be points differential. And, Joe, do we have the fact book? Do we have the record and fact book here? That way I can just read it right out of there. I believe points differential within division games, comes before that. Joe, look under tiebreakers in the front, in the index there. Look under tiebreakers, and I'll keep talking here and giving Louise bad information. I don't think this is bad information, Louise. I think division points differential in division games would come before points differential in conference games. Of course, that may not be true in some cases where you're breaking wild cards. So here we're gonna read it right now. Tiebreakers within a division. Two clubs. Number one, head-to-head. Number two, best one-loss tie percentage in games played within the division. Number three, best one-loss tie percentage in common games. For instance, games that the Jaguars and the Texans or the Colts or the Titans or whoever, if they were in a deadlock with the Steelers, same game, same teams, common games. Number four, best one-loss tie percentage in games played within the conference. Number five, strength of victory. There's a formula for that. In other words, you beat teams that beat other teams. All right, you get that. Number six, strength of scheduling. Strength of schedule. Jaguars' strength of schedule is kind of middle of the road. Number seven, best combined ranking among conference teams in points scored and points allowed. Number eight, best combined ranking among all teams in points scored and points allowed. Now we get down to what you're talking about. Number nine, best net points in common games. Number 10, best net points in all games. So I did give you incorrect information. It's not division games. It's common games. You would almost never get down this far. But if you did get down to net points, it would be in common games first. And this isn't a head-to-head between two clubs within the division. For instance, Houston and the Jaguars.
Yes.
Okay. It would come down to best net points in common games. It's almost not impossible, but it's highly unlikely that the Jaguars and the Texans would have the same net points in common games. Okay, Louise?
That's wonderful. Thank you for answering that question. And we appreciate the comments you made earlier in the season when everyone was concerned about how the Jaguars were doing, and you said, look, this is a rebuilding year.
It is. It still is.
It would be good.
Okay,
that
thanks.
And it looks like it's getting better. Well, you have a good evening.
You too, Louise.
Bye-bye.
So right now we're sitting number two because we played Houston and we beat them.
Right.
Got it.
Head-to-head.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right. Fans, here's your chance to get free Jaguars merchandise. Just make JaguarSearch.com your new online search engine. Every search is a chance to win digital dollars that can be redeemed for great prizes. It's just that easy. JaguarSearch.com. It's that easy to get a hold of Vic, too. 355-NFL1. Jaguars Monday continues right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman. You want to talk to Vic? Real easy to do. 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, 1-800-355-NFL1. You can also vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. That's all part of the First Down Touchdown Teachers. Just visit communityfirstfl.org for the details. Victor calls from far away as Tampa and over in Arlington.
Folks, you know our rule here, and it's real simple. If you call, we'll put you on, provided you don't call in the last few minutes and we run out of time. So if you want to hang on, I promise I will get to you. Just be patient. And I'm going to go back to the phones. But before I do, I'm going to fess up on something. You know, before the season begins, all summer long, the big question, that, not the big question, but the repetitive question that comes to ask Vic every day. What do you think the Jaguars' record is going to be? What are your expectations for the Jaguars? And I didn't hedge on it. I was very clear in saying this is a rebuilding year. I still believe it is a rebuilding year. I was very clear in saying that my expectations were subdued. I was very clear in saying that I did not consider the Jaguars. I did not expect the Jaguars to be a playoff contender this year. I still don't. But here's where I'm going to fess up. The reason I never gave a record, the reason I never, and I was asked, I can remember being directly asked, what do you think the Jaguars' record will be after the first four games? Because we all knew the first four games was a minefield. And I can remember my answer was, I'll take 2-2 right now and run. And the reason I said I'll take 2-2 right now and run is because I didn't think there was a chance in hell this team would get to 2-2. I mean, when you're looking at Indianapolis, the NFC, the defending NFC champion, a trip to Houston where the Jaguars almost never win, and Tennessee, I didn't see a win in there, folks. And they're 2-2, and frankly, I feel blessed because it makes my job a whole lot easier.
You asked the coach, and you asked Gene right here tonight.
Neither one
what
answered.
2-2 meant. 2-2, what it meant to them.
Either.
But isn't 2-2 excellent for a team that was 0-2?
I've covered rebuilding. I know. And let's not forget about 2003. That was rebuilding, and it started out 1-7, and we were giddy in the second half of the year when they won 5 of 8. Didn't they win 5 of 8? No, 4 of 8. They were finished 5-11. They won 4 of 8, and we were giddy about it because they were in every ball game. So I know, and I've covered rebuilding, to the other extreme where it's really bad. And for this team to be 2-2 and heading into a stretch of schedule here, that gives me reason to believe that maybe they can go into November and be in the race. Shh. I shouldn't say that. Oh, God, please don't punish me for having said that. Oh, let's go to the phones. Who's up, Joe? Josh from Arlington. Good evening, Josh.
Good evening, Vic. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I have a pair of questions here. One is, why does Josh Scobie not seem to get the national recognition as most kickers? Mm-hmm. And he blew, what was it, 5 touchbacks yesterday?
Yep.
And he's...
He might be the best kicker in the game. I don't have... Joe, do we have the rankings, the Monday rankings? I'm going to take a look.
All right.
If there's a combination of leg strength and accuracy better than his in the league, I'm going to have to look for it because no one comes off the top of my head. Now, why doesn't he get the recognition that Olindo Mare got when he was in Miami? I forget where he is now. He may be out of the league.
Seattle, I think.
Is he in Seattle?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Why didn't he get why doesn't he get the attention that Vanderjack got in Indianapolis? Well, I guess because he didn't criticize his quarterback, but you know, you're right. But there's, I think you know what the answer is, because he plays for Jacksonville.
Right.
It's just that simple. I mean, look, how can we expect the national media to respect this team when, to a large degree, we don't even respect this team enough to fill its stadium? I got to tell you,
sure,
that was pathetic yesterday. That was the Tennessee Titans. That was this team's prime rival, number one rival. And they didn't even, and we couldn't even get 40, we couldn't even get 50,000 tickets distributed. It's not good enough. I know it's hard times. And I hope that's the answer. I don't think it is, but I think the TV habit has to be broken, and I think it's being broken. Mm-hmm. And this is going to change next year, but everyone is patting themselves on the back about, and Gene Smith just gave everyone a big pat on the back about the enthusiasm yesterday. That's fine, except I'm looking at darn near 20,000 empty seats, and that's not fine. So how can we expect the national media to give us the attention that we won't even give ourselves or give our own team? You with me on this?
I am, but also, like, Arizona never got the national recognition, and Rackers was, you know,
well, there's a prime example. No, he didn't get it. He didn't get it. You know when he got it one time? You know when he got it one time? Hmm. When Arizona ran that, they call it a fair catch kick. Do you know what a fair catch kick is?
I believe so.
If you make a fair catch, you can put the ball on the ground and kick it like it's a kickoff with the defense 10 yards away, right then and there. Right then, the next play, you can just put it on the ground and kick. So you make a fair catch with 1 second left in the game, you don't even, you know, I mean, you can run this fair catch kick, which puts the defense 10 yards away, allows the kicker to kick it lower. No one knew the rule existed, and I believe it was Arizona that tried it, something like that, and all of a sudden Neil Rackers became famous because of this fair catch kick thing. I think they tried it and failed, or they were about to try it and something went wrong or whatever, but Madden helped make it popular. But But no, it's because he plays in Jacksonville. If we're going to expect attention and respect from the national media, we have to give it to our this team in the form of a full house. That's my opinion. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks for your call, Josh.
Thanks, Vic.
And let's go to our final break.
Yes.
Final break of the evening, and we'll come back and clean up these phone calls.
Whoops.
There goes Josh.
My bad. See you, Josh. By speaking of Josh, I can't find the new ones because there's still a game going on tonight. But last week,
I'll go down to my office and get him.
They got him ranked number 24 from last week.
I'll go down to my office and get him.
Jaguars Rewards Program Gang is your ticket to discounts and savings from a variety of merchants in the greater Jacksonville area. You can save on things like Jags gear to money-saving offers at your favorite restaurants and a whole lot more. Just visit jaguars.com/rewards for more information. Check in with Vic Ketchman when we come back. Easy to do. 355-NFL1. Jaguars Monday continues right here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Jaguars fans enter to win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner will be chosen from each home game. You and a guest could win tickets, a parking pass, and a chance to win $50,000. Just log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details. Josh, ask and you shall receive. Here's Vic with the latest on Josh Scobie.
Okay, Josh Scobie, folks, is tied for fifth place in the league in points scored. Tynes from Lawrence Tynes from the Giants is leading the scoring with 41 points. Josh Scobie is tied for fifth. He has 31. Josh is also, this is the other big category, tied for fourth in the league in touchbacks with 8. Alindo Mare of Seattle leads the league in touchbacks with 9. So, real simple. Josh Scobie is one behind in the touchbacks race, and this is a good place to kick if you want to win the touchbacks
race.
So
that means we're going to see a lot of balls this week and booted into the end zone.
Yeah, and we got a match of two strong-legged kickers this week. Hey, by the way, this is the lightning round, and you got to go fast now because I want to get everybody on who is holding. And let's start with Dave in St. Augustine Beach. Dave, good evening. Dave, are you there? Hello, Dave.
Don't come to the game if you don't have tickets because they don't have scalp tickets there.
Couldn't hear that. Could you tell us again?
Yes. Don't show up to the game without a ticket. Tickets that are being scalped are overpriced because there's very few of them and there's none available.
Where are you talking about? In Seattle?
No. Jacksonville. Yesterday, there was a press.
This isn't working. I'm sorry, Dave. Your phone is just breaking up. Let's go to Nathan on the south side. Good evening, Nathan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Real quick, listening to the game yesterday, I couldn't really tell, but I was able to watch the Texans game, obviously. And in the Texans game, even though they won, I saw two or three balls, you know, get into the safeties and in the defense. And it just frustrates me because I'm waiting for the big hit, and I get the push. So did they stop pushing yesterday, or did they start hitting yesterday?
Talk about the Jaguars?
Yeah. I mean, it was in the third quarter. I remember threw it over. This was at the Houston game. You know, it's a 15, 18-yard pass down to, like, the 12, 13, and he's still in bounds, and I don't know who did it, but he just pushed him.
Yeah, no.
I mean, he should have rocked him.
You're right on. You're right on. Safety.
Did that get better yesterday? Because I couldn't tell listening to it.
what was better yesterday was the play of Gerald Alexander, who got a start, I believe, and was pretty darn good. He got an interception. He got a couple passes defensed and a forced fumble. Big forced fumble. No, Gerald Alexander gave the Jaguars probably the best safety play I can remember for a while.
Yeah, I'm looking for those Donovan Berrios just knock the head off.
Okay, number one. This team doesn't have those kinds of guys. Reggie Nelson. Reggie Nelson is not a lights out hitter. He's what I call an ambush hitter.
Okay.
In other words, if you're not looking, he's going to whack you.
But, yeah.
You know, he's not the kind of guy that's going to come up and take the big back on face to face.
But at least wrap him up. Don't just give him the shove.
He's doing a better job of tackling. He really is. He really is. He had I think a half dozen tackles yesterday. That's becoming a much better function of his play this year than it was in the past.
I gotta believe it just drives Jack crazy when he sees a pass caught in a second later instead of a big hit. It's a push.
There's a reason why this team has been picking up safeties forever. Kennard Cox. They traded for Gerald Alexander. They picked up Marlon McCree. They picked up Brian Russell. They picked up another guy lately. Who the heck was it? They've been claiming safeties as though they didn't have any. Maybe they don't. You know. So your question is legit. No, I didn't see any big hits yesterday, but the tackling is better. Number two, this is not a league that allows big hits in the middle of the field, the Elkabongs. They don't allow those anymore. And Gerald Alexander's play was very, very strong. And with that, I want to go to, who is it, Nathan? Or no, we had Colin. Let's go to Colin in Tampa. Hi, Colin.
Hey, Vic, how you doing?
Good.
Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I just want to make a comment about our draft class and what Gene Smith's done. I was racking my brain today, and I don't think I can come up with another team's draft class who has outperformed the Jaguars and given the kind of instant production. And I didn't know if you could think of one.
Nope.
I mean, this guy's come in, he's basically, stole a Gerald Alexander, stole Luke McCown, literally stole Don Carey from the Browns. I mean, I haven't seen anything like this.
Yeah, you're breaking up too, but I'm gonna run with that because you're right on. There's no question. I wish I had a preview of these questions so I could do some real homework, get my draft book out and look at all the teams and see exactly where the Jaguars fit, see who has drafted well. I believe that Philadelphia has drafted well. They got Jeremy Maclin, they got LeSean McCoy, but I don't think they're getting any more production out of those guys than the Jaguars are getting out of Mike Thomas and Derek Cox. Derek Cox had a monster game yesterday. His second interception, a couple passes defensed, and he led the Jaguars in tackles, I believe, with seven. This is a premium position player. He's a rookie, and he's leading the team with two interceptions, and he led the team in tackles yesterday. So when you stir in the two starting rookie offensive tackles and the job that Terrence Knighton has done, this could turn out to be the Jaguars' best draft class in their history. Let's get one more in before the show is complete, and that is Mike. He says he's from Niceville. I don't know. Are you really from Niceville?
No, Vic, it's Mikesville.
Mikesville.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Nah.
Yeah, between Lake City and High Springs.
Really?
Small town called Mikesville. Yep.
Okay, fine. Mike from Mikesville. What do you have for us?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Just
sure.
One quick comment. Maybe he doesn't show up on the stat sheet very often, but Derek Landry, it seems like every time you're watching that guy, to the whistle, full speed, wide open, and even if it's 30 yards down the field, he seems to be a real hustler, and I just wanted to take your comments about him.
High-energy guy, dependable guy. Here's the problem Derek has. They've made this move to the 3-4, and I don't see a position that's for him in a 3-4. He's just not big enough, He just doesn't have enough girth to play nose tackle. He's short enough. You like that. He's a low-built guy, and you like that because they're going to come at your knees. But he doesn't have that big posterior like Terrence Knighton has. You need that. Man, you need that base. And as far as an end is concerned, is he big enough to play any of those three positions? You see, in the 4-3, there was a place for him. The other tackle, the change of pace tackle, the second tackle. But in the 3-4, it's just tough for him. Are we done?
We're done. You never heard of Niceville?
No.
It's between Pensacola and Tallahassee.
I don't want to be from Niceville. I'd move.
Say goodnight.
Good night, everybody. Thanks.
Don't forget, tomorrow night, Jack Del Rio Show. Then Vic is back with Brian and Jeff for Jaguars This Week on Wednesday. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman. Brought to you by Prudential Network Realty. This is AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.